Aviation currently makes up 3.5% of global carbon emissions. It's a pretty big slice of the pie. And airlines and governments around the world seem to be in agreement that we should decarbonise air travel. In fact, many have committed to making it a reality by 2050. Dr. Grant Lumsden is a partnerships manager at Wellington UniVentures, and he joins me now to explain some of the issues around electric aviation. Hi, Grant.
Hi there, Jesse. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for your time today. What is Wellington UniVentures exactly?
Wellington UniVentures is we're the commercialisation or tech transfer office for Victoria University, Wellington.
Right. Interesting role for you then. What is your job?
So what we do at UniVentures is we work with the researchers, whether they're working in computer science or government or physics, and we try and take the things that they've invented, the outputs of their research, and turn it into real companies, real products, and sort of take that research out of the lab and into the real world.
And where are we at with electric aviation? Who's your partner there?
At the university.
Well, are you not a partnership between university and business?
So, yes. So you mean the business partners?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we've got a lot of researchers in the physics and at the Robinson Research Institute at Victoria University, and we are partnering on this effort to decarbonise aviation globally. So we are working quite closely with international companies such as Pratt & Whitney, such as Airbus, and also with aviation players here in New Zealand, such as Air New Zealand, our national carrier.
Okay, so it's pretty big time. Where are we at? I mean, well, let's define the problem first of all. Why switch to electric aviation versus what we're doing now?
Well, I think all of us want to have aviation in the future. The ability for people to travel between countries is a huge gift. But obviously the impact on the environment, and particularly with the CO2 emissions from aviation, are something that we need to get rid of. We need to make that a part of our goal. So we are looking to a future where we have fully electric aircraft that can fly across the Pacific or across the Atlantic. But that is a goal that's a long way in the future. What we are doing right now about it is it's starting that journey. So as you will have heard, I mean, the journey to electric aviation has started already. In 2021, a battery-powered electric plane flew across Cook Strait. And what we can see is that that's just one of the first in many steps that's going to take us towards those fully electric aircraft. Like we have had hybrid cars first, and then we also had biodiesel. And all of those innovations has led us towards fully electric vehicles. So with aircraft, it's going to be a journey of many steps to get to that fully electric future.
Yeah. So why? Well, explain the obvious question first, which is if we can make an electric car, why can't we just do the same thing with a plane?
So planes have always been a bit harder than cars because you have to get them off the ground. So lightweight is an absolute priority for everything in the aviation industry. And unfortunately, gas turbines, jet engines, produce an extremely high amount of power for a low amount of weight. Electric motors aren't quite there yet. They're actually quite heavy compared to the carbon fuels-based counterparts. So what our research is about, basically, is taking those rather heavy electrical components and making them lightweight and powerful and suitable for the aviation industry.
Mm-hmm. How much progress are you making? First of all, what sort of difference are we talking about? How heavy would an electric engine capable of lifting a plane off the ground, how heavy would that be?
So basically, if you're talking about something like an A320, the sort of plane you'd fly up and down in New Zealand with, then the engines on one of those, if you wanted to make them electric, it'd be like 15 tonnes of electric motor, which is more than 10 times what the current jet engine cores, the gas turbines, would weigh.
Okay.
So that's a huge engineering challenge to overcome.
How do we make them lighter then?
So one of the ways that we're contributing at Robinson at Victoria University is we use something called superconductors. And what they are is a way of carrying electricity, like we carry electricity in copper wires at the moment, but superconductors do it with zero losses, and they can do it in much smaller wires than you would if you're using copper. A bit of superconductor can carry, 100 to 1,000 times as much electricity as a piece of copper wire. And that's a game changer for aviation, because it means we can make really lightweight, powerful electric motors that can compete with those gas turbines in terms of power to weight ratio.
Right. It's the copper wire in the engine that's creating a lot of the weight, is it?
Well, copper and iron, the way electric motors are made up is that the copper wire carries electricity, but you have iron there to carry the magnetic field. But with superconductors, you can do away with the iron, you can reduce the amount of copper 100-fold, and so that makes the gives you the opportunity to have an electrical machine that's that sort of 10-fold increase in power-to-weight ratio.
Mm. What are the superconductors made of?
So they're really interesting, sort of a family of ceramic materials. They're made of sort of rare earth things like barium, lanthanum, samarium. There's a whole bunch of different materials used for that. The ones that we work with at the Robinson Institute, they're what are called high-temperature superconductors. And so they'll work at around, we call it high temperature, but it's actually around 200 degrees below zero. But that's about the temperature of liquid nitrogen. And so that's actually, from an engineering perspective, workable.
So it sounds like you got the theory worked out. How is the practicality going?
So what we're doing here at the university is we're building some prototype electrical machines that will step up into that sort of megawatt class electric motor that's going to be needed for aircraft. We've got a 7-year research program running here, actually working with researchers from all across New Zealand, not just here in Wellington. We have our collaborators at University of Auckland, AUT, University of Canterbury, and what we're aiming to do in the next 5 years is to demonstrate superconducting machines with this really high power-to-weight ratio, and that we can then help transfer that technology out to the industrial partners, you know, the Pratt & Whitney's, the Airbuses of the world.
Yeah, good one. I imagine you're not the only people in the world working on this problem. So what advantage, if any, do you have over the other many teams who'll be doing the same thing?
So the advantage we have in New Zealand here is that back in the 90s, the New Zealand government funded a whole bunch of science and scientists who actually invented some of these high-temperature superconducting materials. They patented them, and they've been working with companies that today make those superconducting electrical wires. But as superconductors have started to come down in price, it's opened up a whole bunch of new opportunities to apply them to different problems. And so the scientists here have started to turn their attention towards applications for this technology. And aviation is a really big application. Fusion energy, so the sort of the clean version of nuclear power, is another big application that's started to become more viable. So we're wanting to demonstrate a real motor that would really work in an aircraft application.
I guess there are other solutions too, using fuel, jet fuel, that might be a bit more environmentally friendly if such a thing exists.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and the challenge of decarbonising aviation is such a huge one that there are going to be many parts of the solution to that problem. And what you've talked about, it's called sustainable aviation fuel, and that's a biofuel. So it's created from crops or from forestry waste. Sustainable aviation fuel is definitely going to be a part of the solution. But the same way that biofuels haven't completely taken off for road cars, it's just a huge amount of crop area that needs to be given over to creating fuel. So it'll be a part of the solution, but there'll be many other parts to the solution as well.
Where does hydrogen fit in?
So one of the big questions about electric aircraft is basically, where do you get all the electricity from on an aircraft? So for the small pipistrel aircraft that flew across Cook Strait, they could use lithium-ion batteries, you know, like in a Tesla car. But if you're going to fly across the Pacific, say, the battery just becomes so huge that it's infeasible. So what we are envisaging is that the electricity will come from things called fuel cells, which basically convert hydrogen and oxygen directly into water and produce electricity as an output. But it's not done at high temperature, so it's not like burning the hydrogen. You get this electricity through the fuel cell technology. And the and so in order to supply fuel for those fuel cells in an aircraft, people are thinking of liquid hydrogen as the way forward, because also you can generate liquid hydrogen from wind power, from wave power. You just need enough electricity, like we have in New Zealand, from renewable sources.
What's your best guess? When will I be able to take a decarbonised flight across to Australia?
Across to Australia? Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, the journey is starting now. I mean, as I said, they've flown across Cook Strait. Sustainable aviation fuel, Air New Zealand is already using it in some of its planes. It's available in LA, and they're trialling it. Hybrid aircraft, Air New Zealand has committed to replacing some of its aircraft with hybrids within the next 10 years or by the end of the decade. So I would say sometime in the next 10 years, you'll definitely be able to fly up and down New Zealand in a hybrid aircraft, and possibly with sustainable aviation fuel, you might get across to Australia on a carbon neutral flight.
Nice one. Good to talk to you. Really appreciate this crash course.
Yes. Hopefully that some of that was understandable at least.
Yeah, no, I think the poor choice of words, actually, crash course, probably not what we need talking about electric aviation. Thanks, Dr. Grant Lumsden, Partnerships Manager at Wellington Univentures, about how we're going to decarbonise the airline industry.